So, hey folks, this is your good friend Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle, and it is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, February the 21st, 2020, and it's right around 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, someplace in the future, it's around noon. And I'm here today with my good friend AJ, and we're going to pick up where we last were on our outline concerning time travel. But before we go too far into time travel, how you doing, AJ? How you feeling?
Doing well, Dan. Thank you. And I always appreciate being on the Little Saigon Report. Everything about the same as usual. The family taking care of being involved, and that requires a lot of time. And then my side stuff with the metals, and lately been looking at the other uses of activated charcoal, potentially for a way to create a revenue stream, and also zinc oxide. I have both of those readily available. It's just meditating on the best ways to bring it to a market. It's already out there a little bit, but definitely there's a demand for it that's increasing with the all natural. So whether it be sunscreen with the zinc oxide or the activated charcoal environment water filters, or I found some other very creative uses for it as well that don't seem to be out in the zeitgeist, but are effective, and it's very cheap material. So that's what I've been messing around with, and ready to talk about some time travel. How about you, Dan? How are you hanging out there in little Seattle with the electric gypsy boogaloo going on?
Well, listen, number one, and I'm gonna ask you a favor, if you can just slow down a little bit, just a little bit, because the Skype is, it's just not perfect when it comes to picking up. It was good, but just slow down a little bit. Is that okay? I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Dan, Skype is perfect. So it is my flaw, and I will remedy it. Let's not forget our lessons of the
Right.
past.
Oh, we learned some lessons a few weeks ago. We can't even talk about the lessons because if you talk about the lessons, bad things happen. So let's not talk. In fact, we shouldn't even have thought about that just now. But that being said, I don't know. I'm doing okay. Hey, I got a weird suggestion as far as revenue streams go. Okay, so you know how when I think about the Boogaloo, I think about how you should think about food, water, and shelter. And if I were you, and I knew what you knew how to do, I would potentially consider, because here's the thing, I don't know you've mentioned to me you're trying to build a kiln for heating metal, correct?
Yes.
And you could also use that for, potentially creating your charcoal too, can't you? Just that seems like a good use of it too, to heating up the charcoal, because the key is to heat it up but not to burn it. Isn't that correct?
You are 100% correct. Yes.
Okay. So anyways, I had this weird idea. Somebody with your skills, I don't know how far outside the safety space would be potentially working with glass, although that's not necessary for this scenario, but I just throw it on the table. But some of your skills, I would love to see a filter designed that could be easily adapted to like the plastic fucking containers you'd find, like the fucking 2-liter bottles or whatever, so you could create a very simple hanging kind of gravity filter. So like you build a filter, it connects to some, and I'm not saying that you design around that, but make it simple enough that the connector on the top is more of a and I don't even know what the name for this would be, but it's more of a connector based upon tension. Like you know how you can have connectors that are really just a tight rubber seal. So basically like a tight rubber seal type connector that basically is connected to a large whatever it is that holds your water, and the water just drips through it. So if you could design a generalized filter that was easy to connect to something, I guess that's what I'm saying. The problem with filters is they're so fucking connected to the thing they're designed for. It's
Yeah.
hard, you know what I mean? So why not design a general purpose filter that you build, your artisanal filter, dude, with your charcoal, doing it right, do some testing, do it the scientific way. You know how Uncle Dan recommends bullshit. But once you've done all the science and you've tested the water and you've verified the filter design, why not make it a kind of universal adapter type filter so
Oh,
that.
that is genius. So let me make sure I'm understanding you. You would have, it's almost like a man in the middle filter between the input, wherever the dirty water is, and it's going to have a valve hook up to the dirty. It's going to pass through the filter, and then the valve can then universally, for the most part, adapt to
whatever
a
else.
Water bottle, a jug.
Yeah.
So it's a, in the middle, a third thing between the two, clean and dirty. Is that correct?
Yeah, and so essentially you're going to make one side of it, or maybe even both sides, a universal type adapter if you can, as far as a seal. So the key is to make both sides and actually the simplest solution would be like one of those fucking, you know those metal, they're designed for like working with rubber hoses, those metal clamps, they're like screw clamps. You put them around the rubber hose and then you screw them down, they tighten, but they're
collar
basically
clamps.
Collar clamps. Something like that, that could be a universal kind of seal. Okay. Within reason, you can't, you know, let's not all go insane here. You can't build something that's going to be totally impossible, right? But something that was like that. And again, guess what? Haven't given away anything. We've actually maybe gotten people excited. So this isn't giving away an idea. There's work that has to be done here, dude. But my point is, designing a filter like that, that you could sell, and on top of it, design it so they could actually, this would be even more kick-ass, give them a simple description on how they can replace the carbon. Because really, if you make the main component the carbon, you can sell them the carbon and they can buy it with their first load. The point is, dude, you can also teach them how to make their own activated charcoal.
This is genius, because it's not only for the preppers, but just even someone going on a vacation to Mexico or backpacking
camping
in the woods. Yeah, camping. Wow, let's talk about more of this offline. We may have you and I put our heads together on the marketing and get this out there. I'm real good with the valves and stuff. I can figure that out. It's just, how do I get it out in front of the people that's to sell? So yeah, we'll talk more offline. This is brilliant. I like this a lot.
Well, I mean, lots of people have filters out there, but the key thing is this, and I know that we were going to do a podcast on, you know, making water, although that's a bit of a silly statement because the water is kind of neither created nor destroyed for the most part. But one component of dealing with water is that toxic sequestration, you know, capturing the poisons. And activated charcoal does it better than pretty much everything. But the other thing is this, it's only one step. So it's sort of like you want to do the fucking thing, but then teach them, like give them, design a pamphlet. And this is where you and I could also work together. Design a really cool pamphlet that you sell with it that only can be gotten by buying it. Or, you know, someone gives it to you if they bought it. The point is, you design a little pamphlet and maybe you even make it waterproof. And it's the simple description on how to get water if you need it.
I like this a lot, because you could also
think of it like I don't want to diss the Ranger Handbook, but think of it like the Ranger Handbook for getting water, and it's waterproof. And we include that with a filter.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I've got the supplies. I just got to put it all together. That's where I struggle. I need a scheming mind like yours to help me tie up all the loose ends that are floating around in my brain, which you just did a lot of. And we need to continue this later, possibly today.
But as far as like the rest of it's
out,
going, I'm sorry.
No, this is really good. I'm just reflecting on the idea. I really like it. But what were you gonna say?
I don't know. As far as the rest of it's going, I honestly don't know what to tell you, dude. It's like this virus. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's make believe. I don't know if it's something in between. It seems like if it is real, it's probably a bioweapon. But truly, how do I fucking know? How do you know what's true about it other than what you can see?
Yeah, and what I can see is absolutely no observations in my living space, not just here, but when I go out and about to the stores, no one's wearing masks. The traffic seems typical, normal. No one's high in their homes. And your reports from Harborview seem status quo. So I think this is all it's all distraction for something. Something else is going on. Not that the people of Wuhan haven't suffered some, but even you try to go and find some videos. There should just be more out there of people, the ghost towns and stuff. It just seems so manufactured. You'll go on there, and I always like to sort by the Creative Commons to get all the ABC crap out of there. And there's just the same stock videos, one with the police officers, one with the little dog riding around town in the empty. It's just so, it just all feels so staged. Like, the person falling, the, in your two podcasts ago, you mentioned the, I forget the acronym, but the way they fell.
A PLF. Things like that. Parachute landing fall.
Thank you. Yeah. Things like that. It just, and we know China is notorious for their hijinks. So yeah, I'm going bullshit at this point until I see something in America.
Well, I'm not prepared to call bullshit, but here's what I'm prepared to say. I have not walked by Harborview in a couple days. I did not go into the hospital. I did hear in someone else's podcast, Chris Martinson's podcast, that supposedly there were people transferred. He called it Spokane. I couldn't believe he called it Spokane. Spokane, Washington, were transferred from Spokane to Seattle, to Harborview, for patients. So, okay. So if that's true, it's not – I don't – there's not a lot of it in the news quite yet. It's out there, but it's not really out there yet. And it seems like – here's the deal about Seattle. Seattle is a tech hub that is deeply connected to China, which means that every day in December and January, up until they shut down the flights, there were people going back and forth from China. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here, dude?
Yes, that by itself supports my thesis of the bullshit, because it should have spread if that was going on.
Right.
Well, we know it was going on. We saw the airplanes. So.
Right. Now, here's the worrisome point, though. Here's the worrisome point, because I was thinking about the situation in Korea. And how all of a sudden, and this is why I'm saying I'm not prepared to talk. Listen, I'm prepared to say if it's happening, and I got to ask you a favor, AJ. I'm only going to do this because I'm afraid of what could happen. But slow down a little bit. You're talking just a little bit too fast. I know I can do that too.
Okay.
Okay? But here's what I'm saying, and I'll put it very coolly. It looks like all of a sudden in Korea, South Korea, all hell is breaking loose. And if that's true, then if it's true, then here's the scenario. And if I don't start seeing this in 2 weeks, I have to call bullshit. But here's why I could still not be seeing it. It could have this extremely long incubation period. That's number one. A lot of people could be ignoring it as the flu, number two. And number three, maybe it doesn't really do any damage until really, you know, until after a few months. I don't know. So right now, I see no evidence in Seattle. And if you ask my opinion, AJ, Seattle should be in as bad a situation as South Korea, in my opinion, because we have all that flow of people. Yeah, probably a week or so ago, it all shut down. But this was happening past that, you know, a month ago. You know what I'm saying, dude? This is crazy.
Yeah. And if there is that delay, it gives more time to see how it plays out. I did have an observation, which was noticing that it started in China, which is totally controlled media, everything. So they can make up whatever they want with their theater. And then we have stories coming out of Iran, which is another black box. And South Korea, which it's not North Korea, but it is heavily Americanized. But we're not there, we as in the people, to be able to figure out if it's bullshit or not. But it might as well be little mini America with all our military bases there. You yourself spent time, served over there. And also Japan, which is another mini America. So it seems like they're using these countries that they have control over to kick the can down the road on this narrative, because people have to be wondering, why isn't it here? Well, it's in Japan. It's in South Korea. Yeah. It's coming. But those are all, I'm just seeing the correlation of those are all either a black box like Iran and China or heavily American controlled.
That's the thing. It could be a chemical weapon that looks like an infection, and they're releasing it in very controlled places. And it could be something like that. I don't know. I'll also say this too, AJ, before we get into time travel, because I think this is a good topic. When I was thinking about 9/11 a few years ago, listen, I'll admit, when 9/11 happened, I was as suckered as probably almost everyone, probably for the same reason. I didn't want to believe my government would do this to me. You understand what I'm saying?
I was the same way, and understood. It took a while until I got the information in front of me to have that opportunity to even have the discernment to break away from the that horrible narrative that Uncle Sam takes care of you. So what?
Is that I didn't want to believe it. Well, a number of years ago, about a decade ago, I kind of got over that completely, and I separated myself from it, and I was able to recognize that I, like everyone else on planet Earth, was lied to. We were lied to. That being said, I also realized another horrible truth, that if they did this again, it's a lot like earthquakes and stereo. It's logarithmic, okay? Which means the next time they do it, it's got to be 10 times worse. And 10 times worse than 9/11 is like a nuclear bomb going off. But almost as bad, and maybe even more than 10 times worse, would be a staged pandemic. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe this could be – here's where I'm at right now. There's a 50-50 chance that this is a bioweapon that has either been released accidentally or on purpose, and it's going to kill a lot of people maybe. Or maybe it won't kill that many. We just don't know yet. That's one side of the 50%. The other side of it, this is the first biowarfare false flag in human history. And we are observing it in real time. It's as if you're watching the buildings collapse on 9/11, but instead of it taking less than a second, it took like months. That's kind of what we're looking at right now, if that's true.
And if they were going to pull another 9/11 on a logarithmic scale, with all the cameras out there, I don't think they can do something so quick and demolition type stuff. So this would be the logical next way to go about it to create their outcomes. And the bioweapon or
scary perfect. Think about how scary – I'm sorry for interrupting you, AJ. But think about how scary fucking perfect this is. What is your enemy if you're doing this? The truth. Well, guess what? Even if there are truth seekers left, who wants to go to a hot zone to find the truth?
Yes. And if the bioweapon that they can manage and put out in these certain areas that we've seen so far, if these reports are coming in somewhat accurate. Also, I've seen a little bit, and I do, because you're a expert in electronics and computers.
I'm not an expert. I am a decent code monkey. Don't make me an expert in electronics, dude. I'm not bit pissed at you, but I don't like taking ownership of things I can't take ownership of. Okay. I'm a whiskey Irish woodworker, and I'm a code monkey. Fair enough.
No, because the opinion that someone is an expert is actually a subjective thing from that person. So I am declaring you an expert in these things based on what I other relative to anybody else I listen to.
I'm a good drunken intuitive physicist.
whimsical physicist.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So
sorry.
My question for you is, people are floating the whole 5G, and I don't want to get into the fear stuff, but what if it is a 5G where they can turn it on and make you, feel sick and knock you over and create those symptoms, and that's how they're able to manage it so well that it hasn't broken out into a viral thing, because they just can turn it on, turn it off, and we do have all the infrastructure that's coming in for the high microwaves. And just personally from anecdotal experience, I'll have my Bluetooth headphones on, which I know is an extreme amount of radiation between my ears. But if the microwave is on and I pass by it, I will feel a little woozy in the head. I don't do that anymore. I make sure my Bluetooth headphones are never on when the microwave is on. So I balance that against the electromagnetic spectrum, and light is considered an energy wave and music is an energy wave. So we have all these waves bouncing around us. That would be the other side of it, not to worry about 5G.
Could that be the case? But that is more of a mechanism for simulation than it is the reason. Like, are you saying that's both the cause and the purpose, just to do some 5G thing?
No. To use
it's still going to be to create a false flag, right? Is what you're saying?
Oh yeah. The narrative is the same as the bioweapon. It's just how they're implementing it.
Well, can I respond then quickly?
Yeah.
It could be that. I'm not saying it's not, but it also could be something else I thought about, and I may have mentioned this already, but it worries me just as much as 5G. Can I mention that?
Oh, please.
It could be 5G. You're right. It could be that. They could be using 5G to simulate a bioweapons event. But I've been thinking about these countries, China, Wuhan, China, and other cities in China, Thailand, Japan. It's still pretty much mostly Asia. Then there's Iran, right?
Yeah.
So here's my horrible thought, but I don't think it's true. If it were true, it would be so horrible, I just don't even want to think about it. But what if the ozone layer is beginning to collapse and holes are opening up? And I'm just saying, when these holes open up, people don't understand. If the ozone layer were to open up and the magnetic field were weak enough, that means that it would be worse than being in a microwave oven. And getting it would be like getting the worst number of x-rays, like getting a million x-rays, and it would be terrible. And yeah, if it lasted for more than a few minutes and you were standing outside, within a few days you'd be dead. Radiation poisoning, that's how it works. It would basically kill your ability to reproduce cells in all your tissue lines, and you'd die. You know, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it is a horrible thought I've had, because radiation illness and things like the flu, they can look very similar.
Oh,
and you got all these fucking cops on the streets in China telling people, stay in your house, don't go outside. And the other thing is this too, we're talking about radiation that has no residual radiation, which means that once the hole, you know, closes again, or whether, you know, unless you're measuring it, the people themselves are not radioactive. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a horrible
similar to the 5G. They can
5G.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is there 5G in Iran right now? I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know.
Qum?
I don't.
Qum sounds like buttfuck Egypt, dude. Qum sounds like, if it's Boogaloo time, I'm heading to Qum. You know what I mean?
They always just... Like that Pete Buttfuck guy, you know, Pete stands for dick and
Pete
butt. Dick fuck. I mean,
okay.
They just, it's like I'm in seventh grade. I can't deal with these jokers anymore. I did want to ask you, though, about the ozone layer, because the sun has had an extra bite to it, to quote you from a podcast last summer. And I would wonder then, is there a correlation between those areas and geographically? Elevation or
I don't know, dude. These are questions I can't answer. All I can tell you is that I don't know. It's like you saying it could be a false flag and they're using 5G to create the effect. You could be right, dude. I truly don't know. I don't know, because the only information I get comes through the same source as yours, and it could be total shit.
Yeah,
you tell me your absolute true source of information at this point in human history. You tell me the website. Send me the URL of truth.com. Fuck, that probably is an own thing, and it probably has a porn site.
It doesn't exist. That's the best I find is just videos that are not from ABC or NBC, that even those could be, of course, hoaxed and staged or rendered on CGI. But when they just – kind of they look real to my eye, then that's the best I can go off of to see whether or not something is happening in it, because you're not allowed to travel there either. China shut down. Not that I would want to go over there right now, but it's all closed off. They got the real ID stuff and the passports. I mean, they're ramping everything.
Can I ask you a favor? Even if this means that it takes longer for us to get through the time travel outline, I'd like to keep on this thread for a while. Is that okay?
Oh, this is very interesting.
Because here's the thing. Let's talk about this scenario. And this is the scenario where this is the largest biowarfare false flag in human history. Let's say that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
What are they trying to – I mean, is it really just this is what they're going to do to get us to globalism? Are they trying to cover up something else? What is the purpose of it? Because 9/11 might have been mostly about two things. One, covering up a lot of Pentagon bullshit. And two, three things. Pentagon bullshit, a lot of financial bullshit, because frankly, a lot of financial shit went sideways back in 2001. And then also, I think, you know, scrambling for oil. Okay. But again, you know,
Patriot Act, don't forget about all that stuff.
Yeah, but that's all about becoming a military state. You have to be a Death Star if you want to act like a Death Star. And I hate to break it to you, but the Death Star's got cameras everywhere. The Death Star's got cameras and chips, and they've got vaccines, and if they find your kids wandering around without their parents, they throw them into the Death Star CPS. That's how Death Star works. Okay?
Like Jeffrey's Island.
Yeah. I'm not saying we weren't Death Star before 9/11. It's just that we were less Death Star, if you can think of it that way.
Yeah, it was a catalyst for more Death Star.
Yeah, more behavior. Death Star, exactly. But what is, why is this happening now is my question. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's that the phrase Q-boy, or I can't pronounce it right, but the look to see who benefits. That's a great question I like to ask myself.
Bono. Qui bono. Qui bono. Bono.
Thank you. Yes.
Qui bono. That's Mexican French for that's Latin, right? Latin,
better
right?
Than mine.
For who benefits? Qui bono? Who fucking benefits, man?
But, well, you always get the distraction element, like the whole Kobe. No, I don't want to talk about Kobe Bryant, but you know, the everywhere you looked, you couldn't get around from it, and you know, he's probably off in Elysium right now. But it just, they get that distraction factor away from how shitty things are with the control state on the Death Star. So that's just one I think they're always going for. But there's got to be more. This is a big one with this virus thing. More? Well, control with borders. You know, we can't allow you to go here.
Yeah, but they're going to get all this, dude. This is the thing. All the stuff you're listening so far is stuff they currently have or they're going to get soon. This is a big thing. This is like this is a pass you throw, man. This is a Hail Mary pass. Why are they throwing it now?
Well, the script of distractions has gotten really ridiculous. As far as, at a QAnon, if anyone's still believing in that shit after 3 years, the whole app malfunction with the Democrat, they've really run out of things to create distraction. I know, I agree there's more to it, but if you look at their narratives, they really don't have much left to throw at people with the media, and everyone's fed up with it. If you look at the message boards that aren't actually screened out, people are seeing, even if they can't see the big picture and they might still be a statist and a voter, they're still done with it all. They're done with all of the hijinks. So that distraction thing comes up again for me. But I agree there's more to it. So I'll put it back to you. What do you think the big outcome here is they're looking for?
That's what I worry about, because, you know, when I was talking to Dr. McPherson last week and meditating on his message, which is a very dark message, whether you agree or not, it's a very dark message about the end of the world. It occurred to me that it didn't really matter if it was his message or not. You know, several years ago, like I think about 5 years ago, I worked out the numbers on my own, and I figured out that if we're very lucky, best case scenario, there'll probably be 50 million people alive in North America in about 50 years. That's kind of what I think right now. Plus or minus 50 years, about 50 million Americans. That's how many will be left alive. And I know people say, well, that's crazy, but that's optimistic, dude. That's very optimistic. That's me saying, if we're really lucky, given all the stupid shit we've done. Now, if it's just what it could be, which is ordinary, old-fashioned collapse of an empire, then what we're looking at is something ugly, and maybe they're trying to cover that up. Maybe what they really want is to figure out a way to kickstart into globalism before the United States collapses. Listen, I think our empire is about to collapse. The question is how. Will it collapse the way that the Ottoman Empire and the Austro-Hungarian Empire collapsed before, you know, and during World War I? That wouldn't be so great. Will it collapse the way the Soviet Union did? That would be better, but that's still going to be hard, dude. Or will it collapse in a way that some greater empire can swoop in and swallow us up? And I got to say, that's kind of what I think they're pushing for. That's globalism is the greater empire, and this is what they ultimately want, is globalism. So the question is, how do they get there? A disease like this is a great way to get there.
Yes, it's very, very helpful. I was wondering, as you were talking, though, you're speaking of arriving at globalism, but in my eyes, we're already there with globalism. And when all the manufacturing got lost to Mexico and China in the 60s and 70s, and then Monsanto did the whole thing with the farmers and all that funny business. That is, in my mind, the end of the empire.
For America, what you're saying,
as America.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I just wanted to clarify. Like, I understand they can put lipstick on a pig and call us the fiat currency king and all that, but if we don't manufacture anything, which we really don't, how are we an empire on our own feet? We now become dependent on other countries. Like, if shipping were to shut down,
that's the final. You've just described the last stage of all empires. The last stage of all empires is that the capital city does nothing but taxes. It's just rent seeking. That's the final stage.
And we're here. Correct?
And we are here. We are definitely here. And as far as globalism goes, you know, I know we've had tastes of it, but you work with metal. What is the annealing process? Annealing is a shaping process. It's a warming, cooling, pounding, stabilizing. It's the way in which you stretch the metal molecules to get them where you want them to be. Annealing makes stronger metals, true or false?
Very true.
Well, I think that's what they've been doing with globalism. It's like a sine curve rotated towards globalism. Yeah, sometimes you get these little setbacks like Brexit bullshit, other kinds of crap, but the ultimate goal is still the one world power. And so I think that even when it looks like they're losing, they're still winning, is my point.
Oh, yeah. I think Brexit was nothing but giving the people a Trump to kick the can of going along with the bullshit of globalism, because nothing's going to change whether they're considered part of the EU or not with living in Britain, because it comes down to food, water, shelter, and the manufacturing energy to make those things happen. That's everything. I mean, that's all life is. So if you don't have those on your own, you've now become dependent on a bigger beast. And I don't hear any talk in Britain of them bringing back those things to be doing independently. Who the fuck cares what your name is? It doesn't matter. You're still paying a ton of tax. I talk about Britain. They still have a monarchy over there. That's pathetic. So it's just that was just a psyop. I agree. And they like the sine wave is a great analogy of how they have to ebb and flow to keep the psyche of the people from going too down where they'll not participate anymore. That's where they throw them a Trump and throw them a Brexit to keep them quiet. And of course, bread and circuses on top of that. But how long can it go? I don't know. There could be other resources we don't know about because we're not allowed to travel certain places like Antarctica. There could be vast resources. If you listen to Admiral Byrd's, which you brought up in the time travel podcast, I recommend everyone listen to that. It's about 20, 30 minutes. And who knows if he was told to say what he said. It seems genuine, his words and his speech. But it's fascinating, him talking about that being the last frontier and all the great stuff that's down there.
You're talking about that Lon Jean's Chronograph Hour interview he does in black and white TV, right?
I am. That's the one.
The Lon Jean.
Doesn't get too descriptive, but he does leave you wondering what the heck is out there. The whole treaty, you know, look to see who benefits, not the people, if you can't go there. And no, so these resources that we think are finite, who knows how big this place really is. That's where I wonder if they can really keep, they could maybe keep this going longer than, because we're working within a set of bookends of assumptions that could be completely false as far as what natural resources are available to us.
They could be, but there's still what you see with your own eyes. And it's like, the reason why I'm willing to listen to a Dr. McPherson isn't because I think he's right. I even told him that. I don't know that you're right. I was honest about the main source of my skepticism, which is I don't want to see a shitty world that just blows up or there's just no hope. Because between you and I, AJ, if the world were really coming to an end, either because of, you know, clathrate, methane, fart, or, you know, Planet X or series of volcanoes, if the government knew, if our government knew the world for all intents and purposes was coming to an end, I really do think they'd keep it secret. They'd have to. Because if people knew, most of the people have been so ill-served by public education, they would become monsters almost overnight. People have no idea how dark and monstrous people will become, and then they're going to run out of food. And then you're really going to see the crescendo before the final crescendo. So it's sort of like it would be hell on earth, and then it would be hell on earth. I don't know. I wonder in my heart, what if the real truth is all this distraction and all this fucking revelation and all that bullshit has only one purpose, and that is to cover their escape. I like what you're talking about, but the other way of looking at Antarctica is it might become the only place on planet Earth in a few years that you might even have one chance in hell of surviving.
Yes, that's possible. That and I agree that they would not communicate any things, and they would throw all the distractions, which they do anyways, at us up till the very last moment when they board their private jets out of here. And we wouldn't see it coming. But if the turmoil out there, that's why I like the idea of having that network of people, because we have more resources than we were even aware of, as far as plants that you can eat and ways, of course, you got your water and the fruit, you know, you could eat. We got tons of palm trees down here, and they bear these fruits that you can eat, and they're full of nutrients and wonderful vitamins like a carotene. And the leaves, you can boil the leaves. I actually did it yesterday, and it smelled just like carrot juice when I was done with it. You know, just palm leaves. That's it. They're no fruit or anything. And it tasted pretty good and had some nutrients in it. So just if you look at the animals and you see that they don't pay for anything, they're able to just go about scavenging and figuring it out on their own. We could do that as long as we were able to put together our communities where we're not in total chaos of the helpless zombies.
But can I pause you for a second, AJ? Yeah. In fairness, and I know that you have your own feelings with respect to these issues, but in fairness, you have to admit there are places where the ecosystems are dodgy at best. And there aren't, and if there are plants, you shouldn't eat them.
Oh, I there's certain plants. That's why you would take a
no,
little
I'm
sample.
No, I'm saying anything growing in the Puget Sound right now, I wouldn't eat.
Oh,
unless
okay.
I wanted to get cancer.
Gotcha.
Anything
gotcha.
Growing in any of the major ports around China, I wouldn't eat. Anything growing near Fukushima or frankly in the Pacific Ocean, I wouldn't eat. So I like what you're saying, but we polluted so many places. The Gulf of Mexico is kind of dodgy, you have to admit.
Well, oh yeah, we get the red tide is a real thing down here.
It's a real thing everywhere now too.
Yeah.
And soon the giant fucking jellyfish, man. I'm telling you. I jellyfish love, and all jokes aside, jellyfish thrive on these dead zones. You know these deoxygenated zones in the ocean that are starting mm-hmm. to be everywhere. Jellyfish love them, and they can get really big. So I do wonder if in the final stage we're going to have these giant jellyfish just crawling onto shore attacking people.
Oh, jellyfish. We get those in the Atlantic too, from those dead zones, and not as bad as the Gulf because, of course, it's like a bathtub all housed in. And I agree. I wouldn't want to be in that city area. I mean, I hear of your tales of Seattle and the urban environment. It's never been a great idea to have all those people together, all the Bengal tigers in one spot, especially now with exponential growth in those cities. But Dan, have you ever driven across the country?
Yeah, a few times. And listen, I've lived in different parts of the country.
Yeah, Indiana.
And what I will tell you is this, based upon where I've lived the last 10 years, I suspect, amongst other things, random mention here, but I suspect Dane Wigington is right. I suspect there are parts of this country that are experiencing weather that does not reflect the planet right now, which means you might have weather that's kind of okay there in Florida. I say kind of okay. I'm not saying great, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't say great. I said kind of okay. Like right today, I have a blue sky in Seattle. Let me explain what I mean by blue. It's sort of a blasted out blue. Like if I'm in GIMP, my image processing tool, and I go the far left-hand corner of the image editor, the color editor with blue, and I get almost to white. That's what the sky looks like. It's not a blue sky. It's this blasted out fucking white, and they're spraying, and nobody cares, okay? And this is and they will call this a sunny day in Seattle.
Yeah, they.
Okay.
Yeah, the chemtrails.
Dude, I'm seeing squirrels and crows visiting the same dead nest, a nest I saw built 2 years ago. I'm not shitting you. When I moved in here, a crow couple, they were building a nest. They never used it. I've seen squirrels and crows going back to the same nest multiple times the last couple weeks because they couldn't find food. And I'm not just watching the nest all day.
Oh, I,
so,
I
you know I what I'm saying? You. So it's sort of like I'm thinking that they're running out of food too.
And I am not encouraging you to leave Little Saigon because I respect your Mount St. Helens.
I'm where I'm at right now, where I gotta be. I don't have the resources to go. You know what I have? I have the ability to flee. Like, I have enough shit now that if I needed to, I could load up a backpack and I could flee. But I'm saving that, AJ. I'm saving it.
Yeah, no, save. Yeah, we're not there yet.
It's my final move on the chessboard. That's
it. Yeah, and on that final move is that move. I also keep that in the back of my mind. I have my family too, so it'd be harder for me. But you have your family too in Seattle, so it's difficult. But I asked you why if you had driven across the country, just because whenever I have, I'm just amazed by how much open land there is. Once you get 30 miles outside of any major city, it's just so much untapped of the mountains, the rivers, so much. And then you think about Australia, which size-wise, surface area, is just maybe 10% smaller than America. And the population is maybe, I don't know, 20% of America. It's so small population. So there's all this space there in South America.
I hear what you're saying, but then I think, you know, AJ, go ahead. What's your point?
There's a lot of open space. Because that was my favorite. Yes, that was my point.
Oh, you want to go to Tierra del Fuego?
Oh, and I always like to reference it because that would, ideally, without any more information, that's where I would go. But, yeah, no, I'd like to hear your thoughts on my open space argument of just...
Well, no, I like it. I didn't know you were heading to Tierra del Fuego. I would love to go to Tierra del Fuego, okay? I would love to go there. You know why? Because it's as far away from here as I can imagine. It's as far away from Seattle as I can imagine. And frankly, it's pretty close to Antarctica, which means if Antarctica is the safe zone, then if you can't be in the palace, why not hang out, you know, near the castle? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not the best reasoning, but if you wanted to survive a little longer, Tierra del Fuego doesn't sound impossible. But I've never lived there. I don't know. Maybe it's horrible there. Maybe you move to Tierra del Fuego and it becomes its own kind of fucking monstrosity. You just don't know.
You don't. But, Dan, have you ever gone on Google Earth and looked at the pictures people take of – so it's not the satellite image. There's a way – there's a button you select, and then it turns these little blue dots on, and you can click on
– I know.
Okay. There's so much open, beautiful coastal area everywhere. North Korea.
It is beautiful.
Japan. South America. Australia. There's so much open space. I mean, it's just – Iceland. Mind.
You ever look at Iceland?
Yes.
Oh, I love looking at Iceland.
It's gorgeous. There's a paramotor who did a trip over there, and he GoPro'd the whole thing through the volcanoes. Beautiful and open, and nobody's there. I think we get so sucked into the mentality of the Bengal tigers because we're surrounded by all the Bengal tigers. But you have to remember, if catastrophe happens, most of the Bengal tigers aren't going to make it.
No, they're not.
One of my favorite things.
It's the Pareto principle, dude. It's the Pareto principle, 80-20.
Yeah.
And guess what? Magically, 80% of the people on planet Earth live in a city or near enough. Their lives are city lives. Eight out of 10 people live a city life now. That life is coming to an end.
So we don't have to worry about them. And we just meditate now on food, water,
shelter, and the ability to get the fuck out. You think you and I are the only ones thinking about Tierra del Fuego? The fact that we talked about it means other people are thinking about it, which means we have to come up with a different place now, like Patagonia. which isn't far away from Tierra del Fuego. Patagonia is beautiful. That's in Chile. That's not far from Tierra del Fuego. Patagonia is beautiful. I've never been there, but the pictures look beautiful. But maybe it's a hellhole. Maybe it's a hellhole. I don't know.
Think so. I don't think it would be. And the same people like you and I, we're not the only ones, but they're going to be of a higher consciousness where they're probably going to play nice in the sandbox with other people, especially once we become aware of there's not going to be as much competition, in my opinion, because so many people have been staring at their glowing rectangle for the past 10 years. They're not going to know the first thing to do, and they're just going to be dead in the water, and you just got to get out, get away. Once the dust settles, of course, I like that 2-week, 3-week time period that you have advice. And then you make your move and you have your resources on hand that you're not depending on gasoline to get to where you know, wherever you might end up, it might not be exactly Tierra del Fuego, but somewhere, you know, respectable, quiet, and there's so much land. It blows my mind when I look either on the
flying over the
country, driving, or Google Earth.
You also have to consider there are at least 90 boiling water nuclear reactors east of the Mississippi. So when those things start cooking off, the earth will be salted in a lot of places for hundreds of thousands of years. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to stay in America. And the nukes, that could be an
most
issue.
Of those, sadly, are in your side of the country, dude. Why they're probably – this is the thing about Dane Wigington. If you understand how boiling water reactors work, it actually explains the reason why they would be doing what they're doing. If they don't do it, they're up shit creek, okay? It takes years to shut these things down. Years. Not minutes, not seconds. You can scram them fast. You can scram a nuke really fast. But scramming just puts in the control rods completely. You still have to keep the thing cool. If you don't keep it cool, it will melt down and you're fucked. This is the thing. I think that where are we going to go to if it's not Tierra del Fuego?
Oh, well, my best plan for myself and my family is to get in a boat. You know, we both live near open bodies of water. Hopefully the Coast Guard isn't too busy at this time because they're dealing with other stuff. But I have seen some pretty scary YouTube videos of them boarding boats for no fucking reason, which is a bit concerning, but that's something you just got to roll the dice on and go for it. And so you got the open water and you bring your things with you that you need to keep your water clean, because you obviously have abundance of water once you distill it, and you fish and stop at islands and pick up coconuts and, you know, Swiss Family Robinson type thing. And you end up where you end up after, you know, you have your dust settled, and it might be Tierra del Fuego, it might be somewhere in Mexico, I don't know. But it sure as hell is not in America. That's for me personally. I do not want to stay here if Teotihuacan happens.
It kind of goes back to the whole, wouldn't it be great to have the money? You know that one, you know that first, I think it was like maybe the first one we did, the first podcast, where we talked about repurposing those oil rig escape boats. You know those ones they have? Wouldn't it be great if you had the money to take something like that, redesign it and repurpose it for a single, like say a family of four, to just get by? Or maybe even better yet, I had this weird idea of a concept of a drift barge or a drift boat, but buying like some old fucking boat, but designing it so that it can drift and you keep it from shore, keep it way out at sea, but live on it. Essentially live on it as a drift ship. But then again, I'm sure that's against international law. You see what I'm getting at, dude? You can't do shit without being arrested. It's like that couple out in Thailand. I think it was like a year ago.
I saw that story.
Yeah. You know, they're living alone. They're fucking seasteading, and they get fucking thrown in the hooscow.
How far off the coast? I feel like they were kind of still within, is it 12 miles or something?
But can I ask you a question? Doesn't that seem like it should be a ticket and not arrest you and take you to fucking the hooscow?
Oh yeah, I'm an anarchist, Dan. So I have no tolerance for any government meddling if no one's hurting someone. So
I don't know. I'm sorry. So I went to this thing, and this is a weird for our listeners, guys. This is fun because we didn't intend to do this, but this has been a good conversation. So I went to this conference a few years ago, and it was the Startup Societies conference, and it's a conference that, it's not technically anarchist, it's kind of minarchist, but it's this belief that you can get people together to create these new kinds of societies that are outside the traditional system. And, oh, by the way, we'll use Bitcoin to make it happen, okay? As you can imagine, I enjoyed it not so much, but at times it was okay. And it was kind of – there were some interesting people. But there was this general naive belief that they could go and, like, for example, there was one idea of buying these cruise ships and having software engineers from other countries live on the cruise ships and then take a sea taxi into San Francisco every day and then go back out to the ship. It's like, yeah, you could probably make that work, but what do you think the end result's going to be? You don't think they're going to tax your sea taxi? I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like there's a lot of this I like you, AJ, because I don't think you're naive. You're optimistic because you got to be your dad. You love your family. You're hopeful in rational ways. But I don't think you're crazy. There are a lot of crazy people out there who will say things like, yep, 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 the government's going to collapse, but Bitcoin and the new crypto economy, and we're all going to be okay. And it's kind of like, I don't know. The problem is the stuff I want to do, I can't do probably until all this shit ends. Once it ends, all the stuff's going to be hard to do. It's like you're stuck in a fucking Chinese finger trap.
Yeah, that's what Bitcoin's a joke, and how people can't see the paradox of its need to be connected to electricity and the grid and the internet all working to north. Fuck Bitcoin. But
the only thing I can think of, dude, if I had the means, would be to try to find one or two people, find one person who is going to stay in the same spot, and find one or two families who say, let's move to where that person is. And see if we can't make a go of it when all shit hell. You know, we'll know each other, and so we'll depend on each other. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do that a few years ago. You know what though? There's just, if you didn't have the money to come up with that, you probably weren't going to do it. And the problem is the people I would hang out with, the culture I lived in to make money, would have never thought of doing it. It's a paradoxical fucking situation. You're stuck in a fucking bullshit reality to make the money, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you can't work that job any longer. It just doesn't
work. Yeah, and similar to the people wanting to ferry taxis in from their cruise ship into San Francisco, under the current system as it's still running, you have to have money to do things in America. So that's why my answer is always get on a boat and get out of here way past internet. I understand you could get picked up. It's a roll of dice, but what else are you going to do except maybe dig a hole and go underground? So if you can't in this current state, you cannot expect to have any privacy and being left alone by the crocodile if it still has its power and hasn't had its heart attack yet. So you've got to bide your time. And when the heart attack does happen, that's when you make your move. Or you make your move ahead of time and try to get out of, you know, way, way, way away. Because it is naive to think you're going to set up a compound and not have the feds raided at some point. I mean, look what they've done to, you know, Waco and other places in history. They don't leave you alone. If they think you're getting too independent and powerful, they're going to come fuck with you somewhere.
And can I ask, and will you pause for a second? Think about Waco. Think about Ruby Ridge. These guys were not setting up compounds like some fucking crazy ass comet cult in California getting ready to ride the fucking Hale-Bopp back to Satan, okay? They were in the middle of fucking nowhere. Ruby Ridge was the middle of fucking nowhere. Who the fuck was that guy threatening? Mm-hmm. Waco was the middle of fucking nowhere. Who the fuck were the Branch Davidians threatening? Who?
No one.
That tells you everything you need to know. If you have any energy or resources to pop your head out of the hole, the feds will hit you. They will. It's whack-a-mole, and it's whack-a-mole as long as it has to be. So I truly don't know how a person does this without going underground. I really don't. It seems to me that step one, if you want to do this right now, is you need the money, the resources. And step two is to jump off the fucking grid completely. Don't use your social security number. Don't use credit cards. Don't do anything traditional. In fact, I feel like we're going to have a podcast about this coming up pretty soon about how a person could do that. But, dude, you have to completely disconnect, and then maybe you've got a chance to do it. And then you have to convince other people to do the same. Other people with families. Think about it.
It's difficult. And
it's almost impossible.
Almost.
Really.
Yeah. And it is, I agree, it is impossible. If you're going to say, oh, we're going to buy this land and have an expectation that we'll be left alone. Now, you've got to either, like you said, dig, go underground or try the water or some island or maybe the mountains. Perhaps you could get by because the mountains are pretty sparse in unpopulated areas that you could get around like Geronimo and Native Americans did.
Maybe, but the problem is, dude, once somebody in your group shows up on the radar, once somebody in your group practices bad OPSEC, once somebody in your group posts on Facebook or Twitter, you're fucked.
Oh, you'd have to, yeah, you'd be, yeah. And that's the other difficult
part. You know, the OPSEC you would need, the operational security you would need to pull this off. I've thought about this. Number one, forget about all your fucking mobile devices, because if you want this to work, you're not going to get them. Okay. No. Number one. Number two, if you have a network, it's going to be local, which means it won't be connected to the internet. That's number two. So there's a lot of things people would have to give up if they wanted this even one chance in hell of working. And I got to say, dude, I don't know a lot of people would be willing to do this. I really don't. Most of the people I know are in it. And here's the other part that's really bad. And I know that we're almost done here. This has been a – oh, by the way, AJ, this has been a good podcast. I appreciate it. So, you know,
enjoyed it. Me really too. It's a good conversation.
But a lot of fucking anarchists, I think this is why they get suckered into the crypto bullshit. Because the only escape strategy, the only escape fantasy that they can conceive of is maybe there's a crypto fantasy world after this one. That's why they don't have the resources to create some actual, you know, autarky type small community capable of providing for itself. Listen, I didn't spend a lot of time trying to do this, but I did spend a few months in the summer of 2017 trying to fucking find out if such a thing were possible. And what I found out is in the anarchist community, you have a lot of people who are very poor. And not in spirit, great spirit, okay, great morale, great ideas, but poor in terms of having financial resources. And that's a problem if you want to buy property.
Okay? And I agree. And I think even like we talked about Ruby Ridge and Waco, buying property is not going to solve all your problems. So in my mind, if you were going to try to stick around in America, it'd have to be like the Shawshank Redemption. I know they went to Mexico, but where you just have a set point and it's a discernment factor when the people in the group that know about the point decide it's time to go. And it's, I mean, handwritten letters or something deciding that point, what that point is and what the breaking point is where people are going to make their move to head to the top of the mountain and rendezvous. But, and you come with nothing electronic. I mean, and there, I wouldn't even trust a local Bluetooth network because you have to worry about what other chips might be in that Bluetooth device sending out signals. So I would go total dark and have be analog as far as the any devices people are using for instruments to get there, and have the communication point done by a handwritten letter or something.
And keep the computers off the internet.
I wouldn't even bring them.
I would bring them. I would just be like Battlestar Galactica. We have computers. They're just not networked. You know?
What about the man in the middle, though?
That only works if it has a mode of communication. That's the good news. There's a way to isolate the man in the middle, and it's exactly like Battlestar Galactica. Keep the computers off the network. Keep them off the Wi-Fi. Keep them off the fucking LAN outside of your own local network. I hear what you're saying, dude. But the point is, you have to do that if you want it to work. You have to.
Do you think they might have another chip in there that sends it? They don't even tell you about?
Yeah, but maybe. But you can deal with that through a Faraday cage or something. I mean, my point is,
true.
There's ways Faraday of detecting. Cages. We can detect that. It's not undetectable. It's something we can work with is my point. I probably wouldn't totally give up on computers because these could be useful tools. It's just that you got to be safe with them. Since you didn't build them, you've got to isolate them like they're prisoners. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And but, you know,
you have to somehow get the little Saigon report out. I don't know. Maybe have like a pigeon take the USB card out and have it drop off.
You mean, PigeonNet. Yeah, PigeonNet. I love that. PigeonNet.
Take the USB, do the file, and drop it off. I don't know. You got to train it to put it in the reader. But, I'm with you, Dan.
Maybe train a monkey with herpes to drag that fucking chip someplace. Bite somebody. Maybe it'll be a genetically stored info chip that taps in their brain. You know, you mentioned something. We'd have to have some means of discernment. What if it was like this? What if some old lady visits you in a dream and says, come to Colorado. You know, like in The Stand, like, mayhap yes, mayhap no, come to Colorado Springs.
That's it. I didn't have that reference, but something along those lines would have to be triggered.
If you've never seen the TV miniseries like from 1991 or 92, The Stand is pretty good because the old lady she visits says, come on here. You don't want to stop on the road. Come to Colorado. I've got some gritzels waiting for you. You know?
Check that out.
I've got the corn. I got the corn cob waiting for you, AJ. Come to Colorado.
And then that's it. You get in your car and, well, some way you're having your corn cob a couple days later with your friends.
I'll do you a solid. If I end up in some magical fucking corn cob paradise, I will send you a mind beam saying, come to my corn cob paradise, AJ. God, we'll have lots of things for you to eat.
You can send notes to each other and the other listeners.
All the listeners, page. But especially you, AJ, especially you.
Thank you, and I'll send it out to you as well. I find myself.
I don't know. I think I'd leave it like this. You know what it is? I don't know if the virus is real or not. I mean, in terms of what it is, you and I would agree. Who knows what it is, right? And could be anything. It could be the biggest bioweapon false flag ever, and the last one. Who knows? And why they're doing it, they know, and we'll find out after we have the cancer, right? After we get the cancer, we'll find out why the cancer happened. Like, oh boy, that's too bad. You know, yeah. But here's the other thing too, is that I kind of think you're right. Maybe this, if you had the resources, and this is where I think, if I had the money, I'd say I'm going to go to Florida and AJ and I are going to do Project Delta Y Zebra or whatever. We'll give it a good code name, and we will build a specially designed boat to survive at sea all year round. And it will be big enough for three families. And so it'll be your family, another family, and then whatever hookers I can find.
Captain Dan and the hookers.
Captain Dan, hooker, and two families. And I'll keep my hooker nonsense in my captain's cabin. But my point is, we would build a big ship and we would outfit it to take advantage of tidal energy and solar energy and, you know, the gravity battery bullshit. I don't think it's bullshit, but you get my point. We would outfit it. It would seem like Waterworld, you know, but, you know, without Kevin Costner, okay? That's what I would do. I would outfit a ship. We would even have a protected garden space. Like, it would be a little space that when the ship was in a stable spot, you could open it up and you could garden.
Oh, that's a great idea. And that is my idealistic scenario, is to be on a self-sufficient ship.
It would have a moon pool built into it, so when you're stopped, you could just sit there and fish through the moon pool.
Yeah. Oh,
it would have all kinds of really cool features. But the point is, dude, I don't have the money to build the fucking boat, okay? So this gets us to the end. And before I go, AJ, thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Before we go, fun conversation.
And do you have anything you want to say before you leave today?
I think we need to put our heads together on the water filter thing, make our revenue, and then we can afford to build the supplies to do the boat thing down here. And, you know, very exciting potential.
God
so,
bless you, AJ. your optimism will get you all the way to come to Tierra del Fuego, AJ. Come on down. Bring us. You'll have a corn cob paradise. Okay, AJ. And this is the time where I have to tell you folks, I'm Sally Struthers, but I'm not Sally Struthers standing next to a child. No, no, no. I'm Sally Struthers standing next to my inner child that looks like me, but is really just, you know, 1976 version of me. And now is the time I'm going to help me out with little Dan. Dan needs money for food and water and shelter, but also for other things like beer and weed and cocaine. And if you have the resources and you want to help out Dad, I'm kidding. I don't mean the cocaine, but the food and the water and the shelter. If you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of all the things you need to, the people you love and care about, all your boogaloo needs for your boogaloo nights, and you still have money left over, feel free to donate to Dan. There'll be a link to Venmo or PayPal. In the description zone of this podcast, there's also a link to Venmo or PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage at iamsully.com. And until next time, and to all the people with monkey herpes, good day and happy Friday.